All right, everybody, I'm Logan Alec, I'm a CPA, and this is my update for Saturday, December 12th. So yesterday in my video, I asked y'all a question. This question was premised on the fact that earlier this week, Mitch McConnell suggested that we leave state and local funding and liability protection out of the next COVID-19 relief bill. If the bipartisan group of senators behind the $908 billion proposal does that, then they actually agree on a heck of a lot. Right? You look at that outline they submitted earlier this week, wasn't a full bill, but you look at the specifics of the things in that outline, who's eligible for PPP, the details of the rental assistance, stuff like that. This stuff has already been negotiated and settled clearly. It's just the two stimulus monsters, state and local and liability protection, right, which amounts to $160 billion. That's the price tag for state and local. Not really a price tag on liability, but you subtract $160 billion, right, from the top line $908 billion, you subtract $160. What does that leave you? $748 billion. They agree on $748 billion in this thing, but $160 is holding it up. And here's the thing. It seems like everybody's pretty cool with the proposal in the $900 billion range. Now, I know many of you understandably have said that $600 stimulus checks would be insulting, but you also said that something's better than nothing. How much would $600 stimulus checks cost? Well, about $160 billion. Take state and local out. Put $600 stimulus checks in. What do we think of that? Well, yesterday, number two Republican Senator John Thune kind of hinted at some kind of calculus along those lines. He was vague, but he kind of hinted at that. Anyway, my point is, yesterday I asked y'all what you think about the McConnell suggestion of punting state and local and liability to next year and just passing what most in Congress agree on right now. The overwhelming majority of you said, yeah, let's do that. Personally, I think that would be great for the people. It would give many hope this holiday season. Many would be assured they will not be kicked out of their homes come January. Fabulous. The only problem is this, okay? In my opinion, the problem is, this is just my view here, but in my opinion, liability protection and state and local are not tit for tat at this point. It seems to me that right now Nancy Pelosi wants state and local funding more than McConnell wants liability protection. Think about it. For one thing, liability protection, it can be enacted at the state level. All Mitch wants is consistency to make it the law of the land at the federal level instead of having 50 different state statutes. But the end goal, protecting businesses and other institutions from COVID-19 liability lawsuits, that can be accomplished at the state level and, in fact, has already been accomplished at the state level in some states. Number two factor here. Data has come out this week that lawsuits where a consumer is suing a business because they allegedly contracted COVID-19 at that business, these lawsuits are actually kind of rare. I told you the numbers yesterday. Okay, actually kind of rare. Number three factor here. We have a vaccine. Multiple vaccines, in fact. Granted, they won't be rolled out in mass until later next year, but we do have a vaccine. So the combination of these three factors, in my opinion, have caused Mitch McConnell to rethink his liability protection deal breaker, right? He still wants it. Don't get me wrong, okay? But a few months ago, he said it has to be in the next COVID-19 relief package. It's a deal breaker. But now he's like, meh. We can take it or leave it. We can leave liability protection in state and local to next year. And plus, there's not a huge dollar figure attached to liability protection. It doesn't really affect the top line that much. State and local assistance, on the other hand, that's literally the federal government giving money to the states. That has a huge dollar amount attached to it, a large dollar amount, no less. And obviously, if Nancy Pelosi punts state and local to next year and consents to passing the rest, PPP, unemployment, maybe even stimulus checks this year in the lame duck, well, she's lost a lot of leverage as more and more people get vaccinated, right? As states are enacting their own liability protection statutes, Mitch and the Republicans' appetite for a federal liability protection statute will gradually diminish, as well as their appetite for any more spending, right? Their appetite for more spending will diminish if we do pass a fairly large lame duck stimulus right now in the $700 billion, $900 billion range. Now, in that scenario, state and local funding, rather than the negotiating piece that Pelosi could use in exchange for liability protection, the negotiating piece it once was, now it's just dead weight on any Biden stimulus bill, just dead weight for Republicans to condemn next year, especially as the vaccine rolls out, making it even more difficult for Biden stimulus to pass at all. So while Mitch has been cooling to liability protection, just yesterday in her statement regarding the FDA's approval of the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine for emergency use, Nancy Pelosi said, with vaccine distribution being administered by the states, state and local funding is also central to our efforts to crush the coronavirus. And she's exactly right. Counterpoint, Nancy, how much do states really need for vaccine distribution, right? They don't need $160 billion. Let's throw a few billion at them for that, which in fact the bipartisan proposal does. But my point is, Nancy wants state and local funding more than Mitch wants liability protection right now. The two are not tit for tat at this point like they once were. Maybe they were in tandem months ago, but now in my view they are not, especially considering Mitch McConnell's statements this week. And that could certainly cause all this talk about just punting state and local funding and liability protection to next year to come to nothing because Pelosi realizes this. On the other hand, Nancy Pelosi has already been vilified all this year as a stimulus villain, even among some members of her own party, along with Mitch McConnell, of course. But now we have McConnell maybe being just okay with passing, you know, everything else, okay? Does Pelosi want to look like the stimulus villain again, or will she step back on some of her principles here for the sake of getting something done? That is a tall order to ask of somebody who originally wanted nearly $1 trillion in state and local funding to pass earlier this year. But in a question about unemployment at a press conference, she said we can't go home without it, right? She's referring to the December 26th date when the remaining CARES Act unemployment provisions such as PUA and PEUC end. All right, so that's my stimulus negotiations 2 cents. Anything can happen. As I'm sure you've heard, government shutdown has been averted. The Senate passed the one-week stopgap measure. Trump signed it yesterday. Bernie Sanders was kind of making a stink, you know, going into Friday, kind of hinting that he may want to derail the stopgap measure for the sake of relief and in particular stimulus checks, but he relented. We don't know if he will play as nice next week, though. Sanders said yesterday, "I am prepared to withdraw my objection at this moment," referring to his objection to the one-week stopgap measure. "I will not be prepared to withdraw an objection next week. We will deal with the financial crisis facing tens of millions of Americans." So next week, folks, it's going to be crazy, you know, when it comes to stimulus. We are coming up on that cliff. It's not like months ago when we knew there was this theoretical cliff coming up. No, we can see it now, right? It's a couple weeks away. Things will get heated. I hope something comes out of that heat. Like I said, don't get me wrong, I hope that they can pass on what they agree on. My point earlier was that politics could get in the way of the thing, okay? That's all I'm saying. So look, government shutdown has been averted. There hasn't really been any huge progress on stimulus talks since yesterday. As far as the defense authorization, Trump might still veto that over Section 230. We talked about Section 230 before here on the channel. I think I did a whole video on it. And I know the defense authorization is kind of a concern, but look, Congress can override a presidential veto by a two-thirds majority in both the House and the Senate. This Defense Authorization Act passed the House 335-78. That's like an 80%+ majority, right? Over two-thirds. It passed in the Senate 84-13. That's like 86%, obviously, more than two-thirds. So I haven't really focused on this because I think even if Trump vetoes this thing, it can be overridden, right? The veto can be overridden in Congress. There might be concerns about a pocket veto, but look, Congress has ways of dealing with that. So I'm personally not too concerned about the defense authorization. But on Trump and the election, I haven't really talked about the election very much for the past few weeks because in my mind, it's been almost a done deal, right? And it just creates controversy and unsubscribers when I talk about it. But just briefly here, okay, as I'm sure you know, yesterday the Supreme Court rejected a lawsuit filed by the state of Texas to discard the election results in Georgia, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. I'm not going to get into the details here, but the Supreme Court basically said that Texas lacked standing to bring this case, right? What does Texas care about what Pennsylvania is doing, right? This was the last-ditch effort to overturn the 2020 presidential election, given that the Electoral College will cast its vote in 2 days on Monday. Now, a lot of folks have flamed me in the comments and unsubscribed because the way I've described next year and possible future stimulus scenarios has been under the assumption of a Biden presidency. That wasn't me being partisan. It's just me looking at what these judges are saying, seeing that they have not been impressed by the arguments that were put forth by the Trump legal team, right? It's not media spin. It's not media bias. I look at what the judges wrote themselves, right? Cut out CNN, cut out Fox, right? Just look at what judges have written. So therefore, I've been under the assumption that the Trump legal team would not prevail in these matters, right? So I trust that when the Electoral College votes on Monday to choose Joe Biden as our next president, all of you who unsubscribed for my position on the election will kindly resubscribe, right? That's probably a pipe dream. But look, as biased as the mainstream media can be against the right and overlook things, you know, Hunter Biden and all that stuff, the BS right-wing publications who have pretended for the past 5 weeks that Trump has a snowball's chance in heck of overturning the results of the election, they're just clickbaiting as well, right? They just want the clicks and the views and the ad revenue, or if it's subscription, just to keep you subscribed. They're just as biased against the left as mainstream outlets can be against the right, if not more so. And the sooner we all realize the media's agenda, whether it's right-wing or left-wing, I think the sooner we can just view things rightly and deal with facts and not spin. All right, COVID-19. First of all, according to the New York Times tracker here, it's saying on December 11th, we had 280,514 cases, but you'll notice pointing to the yellow line for yesterday on the chart are the words includes many cases from unspecified days. So basically, what that's saying is some positive cases from previous days were not actually reported on the previous days, so they all got lumped in yesterday, right? So that number is kind of inflated, so don't be alarmed. But look, we could very well see actual day-to-day numbers like that at some point, depending on how we all behave, right? Also, 2,951 deaths. As I'm sure you've heard, and as we all expected, yesterday the FDA did, in fact, approve the Pfizer-BioNTech COVID-19 vaccine for emergency use. Yesterday, White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows apparently told the FDA Commissioner, Dr. Stephen Hahn, that his job is in jeopardy. Hahn's job is in jeopardy if the FDA didn't approve the vaccine on Friday, yesterday. Then Dr. Hahn ordered his underlings there at the FDA to clear the way for approval by the end of the day, which was ultimately done. And Pfizer is now shipping doses of the vaccine to the United States for immediate distribution as early as next week. As we said before, the federal government and Pfizer had struck a deal for 100 million doses of the vaccine to be delivered by next March at no cost to the public. The Trump administration will also buy another 100 million doses of the Moderna vaccine. By the way, New York Times editorial team, they need to check this. They basically repeated the same paragraph over and over again about the vaccine that I've shown here. Anyway, that is my update for today. Thank you so much for watching, and I will see you in the next video. Bye-bye.